Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Come on, sing.
Jacksonville, Florida.
where God get all of the glory, where he get all of the honor, and where he gets all of the praise. The word of God say, if I be lifted up, he said that he will draw all men, not some men, but he'll draw all men unto him. And we want you to know, radio audience today, that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask of faith. And no matter what position or where you are today in the status of your life, God is able to make the difference today. I want you to know today that you still have time to call that friend, call that neighbor, tell them that the breakthrough broadcast is on the air so that God can make a change in their life. Somebody need a breakthrough. Somebody need to hear from God. Today is the day that you can hear that very word that you need to hear from the Lord God Almighty. At this time, we want you to know that we are going to be blessed today. We're getting ready to preach and to teach and discuss the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God. Our topic today will be God preserve his people. And we're going to be coming from the book of Esther. That key verse today will be, who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this. And that is taken from the KJV version. And the NIV is, who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. Esther 4 and 14. And we want you to know that the central truth, because I believe that that is important, that God places his followers in position of influence to advance his purpose. And for all of you that are listening out there in the radio land and our broadcast, we are coming again from the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida, and our study text will be Esther, the first chapter, first through the 10th through the 3rd verse. And we are excited about what God is going to do on today. We would like to take this opportunity to introduce to you our breakthrough panelists. They are Miss Helen Hooper, Dr. Sharon Solomon, Pastor Francina Shanks, Reverend Tawana Jones Linton, Dr. Joyce Vines, Evangelist Jardine Spencer. We would like to welcome them to the Breakthrough Broadcast. And we want you to know that today, this is the day that the Lord has given. And you need to rejoice and be glad and get ready to hear from the Most High God. We want you to just to be able to get comfortable, wherever you may be. Just get ready to hear the word of God. The topic again, God preserve his people, Esther. I am your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. And I want to give you just an insight as to what we are going to be talking about today. God has blessed us tremendously. God has been giving us a word from the Lord. And we have been speaking of and God has been talking to us about the women of the Bible. We talked about Ruth. We talked about God rekindling her hope. We have even talked about Abigail, and she was wise, and she was a determined woman of God. Oh, what an awesome discussion. And we even talked about Hannah, her faith to believe and to intercede. And even the woman of God that we find in the 11th chapter of Hebrew in the Hall of Fame, we find that we talked about Rahab, who saved the spies, and in doing so, she was able to save her family. We talked about Mary Magdalene, who was bound with satanic forces and demons, but God changed her, and she began to become a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And the last one I want to make mention, last but not least, we talked about on last week about Deborah, who was a great leader. She was a model. She was a judge. She was a prophetess. But today we're going to talk about another woman of God that God used to bring hope, to bring life unto her people. And what we're going to start off, I'd like just to begin the conversation just to bring you in to our today's scripture, which is coming from Esther. We see that Esther, she was the queen of Persia. She was a Jewish queen. But before then, we see King Ahasuerus, who was on the throne in his kingdom in a place called Shushan, in the palace. And this king had 127 providences that he ruled and he reigned over. And later at this time, when he was in his third year, they tell us that the king, he decided to have a feast. And he made a feast to all his princes and servants, and he invited the noblemen to come as well. And he wanted to show them his riches and the royal and the glorious things that God had done, the glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty. And this went on for about 140 days. And they celebrated in this feast. And when that time had expired, the king had made another feast. And this feast included all the people that was present in the palace of Shushan. And he also invited the great and the small. And he took the feast to the courts in the garden in the king's palace. That's where it all took place. And the Bible began to describe to us and tell us, even as we were there, as even if we can imagine what was happening at that time. And he began to show and everyone was able to see the beautiful surrounding. And the Bible tells us how the white and the green hangery and blue hangery was how it was displayed, and how the cords of fine linen and purple and silver rings, how it was also displayed. And it also shows the pillars of marble and the things that the king, the things of royalty. When you think of a king, you think of royalty. But he had this feast. And as he had this feast, he brought out the best. He brought the best that he could bring out, because I imagine that that's all that he had when you imagine in a king court, in a palace. But they had the drinks, they had the wine, and they brought out gold vessels for his guests to drink in. And he brought out everything that the king would have in a king's state, all the abundance that he had. But then there came a time. At this time when they was having the feast, Queen Vashti, who was his queen, she decided that she was going to have a royal, she was also going to have a feast, and she was going to have it with the women. And so she did. But then it came when the king decided that when he was married, after he had drank wine and he was drinking with his fellows and those that was in position, or those that was around about him, those that he invited in, he decided that he was going to call for Queen Vashti. And he called for her because Queen Vashti, she was beautiful. She had a beautiful countenance. He was proud of her, and he wanted to display, he wanted to show the others his queen. But Queen Vesther, who I told you that she already had the women, that she already had this gathering with them, she refused to come. She refused to come to the commandment, adhere to the commandment of the command of the king. So therefore, the king was very wroth with the queen. And the Bible tells us how that anger began to rise up in him. He wasn't the same. He wasn't married anymore, but he was angry, and it was still a wrath because of the fact that the queen, how dare her, how dare the Queen Vista not come when I sent the chamberlain to escort her, to bring her to my gather, to bring her to my party. And next, the word of God let us know how that after she did not come, the wise men, the king had later had talked to the wise men, and he began to, which was wise, and he began to talk to seven of the princes of the Persians and the Medes that was a part of him, and who also seen the king's face, how his disapproval of what King Vistar did not do. And they wanted King Vistar, they wanted to actually to make an example of her. Because if the queen, the king's queen, if she didn't adhere, if she didn't respond, if she didn't come when the king had asked her to come, then the other women of the kingdom, the other prince wives, and those that were looking upon them, they may have gotten the wrong idea. So therefore, it was suggested to the king that they make an example out of Vista. They suggested that Queen Vista not come before the king again because of her disobedience, because of her not coming and adhering to what the king had asked. So it pretty much takes us into the topic today. God preserve his people Esther, because there is a time in our lives that God will bring us to the forefront. We, Esther, did not know what and how God was going to other straight her life. You and I don't know everything what God is going to do in our lives, but yet we have to depend upon the God who we serve. So therefore, we're getting ready to go before and to our first panelist for the day. We again would like to thank God for our first panelist, who is Miss Helen Watson. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome Miss Helen Watson, Watson Hooper, to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Hello to all the panelists. God bless all the panelists this evening, all the listeners this evening. And we are coming from God Preserves His People, A Plan to Save a Nation. And we're coming from the book of Esther. And I'm going to start reading Esther chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. And it says, "And Haman said unto the king, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of that kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's law, therefore is not for the king's prophet to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have charge of the business, to bring it into the king's treasury. And the king took off his signet ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of the Hamadiah, the Agite, the Jews' enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, and people also, to do with them as you see as good to thee. Then the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was a written according to all Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, and for the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writings thereof, and to every people after their language, and the name of the king Assad was it written, and sealed with the king's signet ring. And the letters were sent by post unto the king's province to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which was the month Adar, to take spoil of them for a prey. And now we're going to go over to Esther chapter 4, verse 1, and then verses 4 to 8. Verse 1 says, then Mordecai perceived all that was done. Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. Now we're going to go down to verse 4 through 8. This is still chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told to her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent remnant of clothes to Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for the king's chamberlain, who had been appointed unto her. And he gave him commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So he went forth to Mordecai into the streets of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened unto him and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasury for the Jews to be destroyed. And verse 8 says, also he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given to Shushan to destroy them and show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her, to charge her that she should go unto the king and make supplication unto him and to make requests before him for her people. And we're going to skip over to verse 13, still chapter 4, verse 13 through 16. And it says, and Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. For thou father's house shall be destroyed, and who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Verse 15 says, and Esther bade them return to Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are presented at Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maids will fast likewise. And I will go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So we see here that Esther, God has put Esther in a place to save his people. We see God's plan going into motion, and we see here it says plan to save a nation. And like Dr. McCall was saying when she opened, sometimes we don't understand how God positions us in certain places. He put us in certain places. Sometimes we think it's for us, and we see here when Mordecai sent the message into Esther, they think not that you will escape because you are a Jew also. In other words, he was telling her, you are a Jew. Yes, we changed your name, and, you know, you were chosen one of the beautiful virgins for the kings to take Queen Vashti's place. And do not think that just because you're in the king's palace that you won't perish also. Don't forget that you are a Jew also. So we see God putting his plan together. We see Haman going out because Mordecai would not bow down to him. He would not keep his laws. He would not bow down to a man. He wouldn't in the gates when Haman came out of the gates. Mordecai basically ignored him. So we see Haman getting angry. We see the devil getting busy right here. But we also see when Esther was chosen, when the Bible says she was beautiful. She had a beautiful countenance. So she had the king. She tugged on the king's heart of it. She had favor with the king. So we see God setting his plan up for her to save her entire nation, of Jewish people. Mordecai would not bow down to Haman. Haman gets angry, and we see God's plan going into action. So Haman goes into action and goes to the king and tells him, you know, there's a certain people that doesn't keep your laws. Here we see the devil just getting busy. They're setting up his plan. Sometimes we know the devil gets busy and he sets up a plan, but the Bible tells us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We see Haman putting his plan in action, not knowing that God has a plan all of his own. See, sometimes the devil comes at us one way, but God already has an answer in store for whatever the devil is setting up for us. He already has an answer for it. Haman is putting his plan into action, but God already has a plan with Esther. He put her, like Mordecai said, you went to the kingdom. Who knows why you went to the kingdom? Who knows why God chose you to be queen for such a time as this? That means for such a time as to save your people, to be the woman of God that you were brought up to be the woman of God that God knows you are. He set you in this place. She was a virgin girl. Just Mordecai raised her, took over her raising when her parents died. He took over her raising. So he told her, God has put you in a position for such a time as this. Do not think that you're going to escape Haman's plan because you're in the king's palace. Remember that you are a Jew, and we should remember sometimes, like he said, we should remember what God is doing in our lives. God sets us up sometimes. He puts us in high places. He put us in places not for ourselves, but to get a work done. It may be to go and save one or two people. He may put you in a job, on a job, and it's just all kind of adverse things going on. But he puts you there sometimes. He puts you there to set the atmosphere. When you walk into a room, the atmosphere should change, and people should know that you are different from other people. People should know that you are a woman or a man of God. So we see Esther here going to the kingdom, how God is using her to save a people. And we see here when she gets the word back from Mordecai, and she sends some clothes, and he rejects them. I'm not putting on those clothes. I want you to do exactly what God would have you to do. So she sends a message back to him. She's getting ready to, God has moved on her heart and moved on her mind, and she sends him a word back to fast, and me and my servants will fast also. And if I perish, then I perish. We see here that she's accepted the call that God has on her life. We see here that she's going to, if further on in the story, she's going to go before the king. She's going to position him, and this is unheard of because you can't come before the king without him betting you to come. So in the further along here, we're going to find out that Esther does exactly what God has put on her to do. Hey, just raise her up for this time. He put her in a place that she never thought she would be. She was just a Jewish girl enjoying her life when she was taken to the kingdom. She doesn't know anything about being queen, but they said that she was a beautiful woman, so she had favor with the king. When he looked at her, when he talked to her, there was something different about her. God gave him just eyes for her. He was the apple of her eye. He thought that she was the most beautiful thing. So she had favor with the king, and she pulled on his heart, his heartstring. God moved on him, and whatever she asked him, the Bible said that he told her, I will give you up whatever it is. I'll give you up to half of the kingdom. So she had favor with him. So Mordecai was telling her, do what God would have you to do. Don't think about yourself. Don't think you're here because of you. God has set you in a place for such a time as this to save a nation of people. So sometimes we have to look at what God is doing in our lives and, you know, how he is setting us up. It's not for us. Some things may be, but God has a plan for everything. He knows what he's doing all the time. So we should seek him, and we should know what season we're in, what places God is sending us. We should have that opportunity. We should have that relationship with him that we know what God wants us to do. Because we have things that we need to do and that he's applied to our hands. And if we don't know his voice, if we're not seeking his face, we will mess up. We will almost mess up because God's not going to let his work be messed up. He will replace us. Just like Mordecai told Esther, if you don't do it, God will raise up somebody else and do it. But your father's household, all the Jews will die. But God will raise up somebody else. So she needs to get herself in position. He was basically telling her, stop thinking about yourself. Don't think that you're going to escape this because you're not. You're a Jew. But remember what God has told you, what he set you in place to do. So we as God's men and women should remember everything that God gives us, it's not for us. Every place that he sends us, it's not for us. Sometimes it's hard. He gives us a hard task, but he wouldn't give it to us if he didn't know that it could be done, that we can handle it, that we can go the distance. He does not ever give us anything that he knows is going to break us down. So here he puts Esther in position. He knows that she's going to get a work done. If he didn't know that, he wouldn't have put her there. But she was beautiful, and the king just loved her. So, and hey, here we go. This is who I'm going to use, a little virgin girl, Jew virgin girl, to save a whole nation of people, to save her people, the whole nation of Jews. So in this story, we see Esther has been set up, like the Bible says, for such a time as this, like Mordecai told her, don't think about yourself. Think about what God has set you up to do. It was a big task, but God got it done. This was God's plan. This is what he did. This is who he used to save a whole nation of Jews. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Cooper, for blessing us, for telling us, and giving us insight on how God preserved his people. And we thank God for that subtopic of save a nation. God has entrusted each and every one of us that know him as our personal Savior, that is born, has been born again. God has a word and put a word in our mouth and our heart. God has something that he has put within us that a nation of people can be saved. We look at Esther and we see what God did in her life. Young girl, young maiden that was not expecting for God to move in the direction that he was moving. But yet because of her purpose and because what God had put in her, because of what was ordained from the foundation of this world, that she was going to be put into that position, into that place for such a time as this. I thank God that God has blessed his people and is blessing his people. I don't know who you are out there today, but if you listen to this broadcast, God has a work for you to do. God has an assignment for you to go for. God has put a word in your mouth. So therefore, it's only thing that we need to do is to go forth and to do what all God has called us to do. She has to put a people. She had to forget about herself. She had to forget about what may have happened to her. You're going to see it even as we go further. But we're getting excited about what God is doing through this word of God. And we want to take this opportunity to welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast Dr. Sharon Solomon. And she is going to come to us, and she's going to talk about Save a Nation as well. She's going to also come from that fourth chapter of Esther. She's going to come from that first verse, 4 through 8, 13 through 16. I know that the Lord God has a word and has put a word in her mouth. So we would like to take this time and welcome Dr. Sharon Freeland to the Freeland Solomon to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Thank you so much, Dr. McCoy, and to the panelists. I just bless God for all of you and to our listening audience. When Dr. McCoy called me and told me about this assignment, I said, well, God, I'll see what you have to say about this. Well, when we get to the fourth chapter of Esther, we see Mordecai in the first verse the other panelists discussed. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes, put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. Now, Mordecai's name means little man. So maybe some of you think, well, I'm just a little person. I don't have a voice. I can't say anything about God because, after all, nobody knows me. I don't have anything to say. But Mordecai found out that his life and all of the Jewish nation, their lives were in danger. So he was sort of put as a call to action. God stirred him up. He was so upset. He put on his sackcloth, which is that old sheep, not sheep, but goat's hair, the black goat's hair that he put on the sackcloth that threw ashes all over himself. He wanted to be seen. He wanted to be heard. He said, you know, this is not right. Here Haman is trying to kill my whole nation. He wants to kill us.
and he's crying. He's loud, and he's all upset. And it made me think about Occupy Wall Street. Somebody started that. But it's no different if you have a cause that you want to bear up, and you say, listen, God has charged me to do this. You have an assignment in Christ. It was not just Mordecai. He was a little man, but he had a big plan. So we move on down to verse 4. Now, I never would understand how Mordecai got all this information, but gossip travels fast, especially bad news. So people were talking. He didn't have an iPad. He didn't have a telephone, a BlackBerry. He didn't have texting. He didn't even have a fax machine. But here down in the fourth verse, it says, Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her. They said, wait a minute. Let me tell you what's happening in the streets. So here's gossip. It's going back and forth. And the queen got upset. So now you have Mordecai who's upset. You have all the people upset. And now you have the queen who's grieved. And so she's like, oh, my goodness, Mordecai's out there in sackcloth. That's my kinsman. I can't have him looking like that. I am the queen. And, of course, Esther's name meant star. Her name alone, she was born a star. So we're like, here I am, a star. I'm up here in the king's mansion that he's prepared for me, and I've got my cousin down there in this sackcloth and ashes. So I sense Esther was a little bit huffy at that moment. So she says, go take him some clothing. I don't want him looking like that. But Mordecai, being the man he was around 129. So it's like, hey, I'm the elder. I am not going to allow you to cause me not to be humble before God, not to break myself for this nation. I have a cause. And so when Esther called her chamberlain, she says, listen, I want you to tell him what to do, and I want you to tell him how to do it. Well, when he got back from Mordecai, it was not so good for Esther, because Mordecai said, wait a minute, you are not going to tell me how to run this. I started this, and I'm going to finish this, because I believe that I'm assigned from God to start this protest against Haman. I know what happened. I have the decree. I see it here. What I'm amazed at is, how did he get a copy of that decree? Well, because people love to pass on bad news. Anytime you have bad news, you can look for people to call you on the telephone to try to get you involved in the bad news. You should never get involved in bad news unless it's something you want to do to change the situation. So here's Mordecai. He says, I'm determined at this point that I'm going all the way. You let Esther know that I am going to be steadfast in this, and I'm not going to change. So here we have the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan, and it was given to the chamberlain to give to Esther. And he said, declare it to her and charge her that she should go to the king to make supplication unto him, and to make a request before him for her people. Well, as my previous co-panelist said, wait a minute. I can't just run up in the king's palace and up in his face. There is a law. If he doesn't call you, you could die. So Esther is, like, afraid at this point. So she's like, oh, wonder why they want to bump me off. I mean, I'm the queen. I shouldn't be going begging to my husband. But she remembered she came from nothing. God promoted her to something for such a time as this, as Haman had set and plot against her and plot against Mordecai. He probably did not know that she was a Jew, but he knew he wanted to destroy Mordecai because he was jealous. Haman was jealous of poor Mordecai. He was jealous. He was envious. He hated the poor. Most likely he had contention and strife and bitterness where Haman was concerned. And Haman's, where Mordecai was concerned. So here you have bitterness in Haman because he was bitter against the Jews, but it was a different bitterness than what Mordecai had. Mordecai's bitterness was one of repentance. But Haman's bitterness was one of revenge. He wanted to pay them all back and destroy them all. So in down here in the 11th verse, it says, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whatsoever, whether man or woman shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called there, there is one law of his to put him to death. And I'm sure that Queen Esther did not want to die. So she's like, I'm not going to do it. But nevertheless, I will reconsider. So in the 13th verse, when Mordecai is sending a mandate to her, he says, Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Don't you think, in other words, I'm going to paraphrase, don't get hoity-toity and high and mighty with me. Because if Haman has his way, he's going to kill everybody, and you are included. And a lot of times we think because someone else is suffering, that same wrath won't come on us because we turned a deaf ear to the cry of someone else's distress. When the nation mourns, they sometimes have rulers that are ungodly. The Bible says so. But a nation rejoices when we have godly leaders. So this is one of those instances where the king doesn't know that Haman has these plots out. He's thinking everything's lovely. But when you've been on a drunken spree for 6 months, you're partying for 6 months, and then you have another week of celebration, I would think that your whole thought pattern is kind of convoluted. So the king is probably in a drunken stupor. That's why he called for Vashti. Poor Vashti was going to be paraded in front of all of his friends naked because that was the custom in the Persian days. You bring the queen out and let her undress in front of the men. How disgusting. So Queen Vashti probably said, you can do anything you want to. I do not care. So the men were so angry about that, they said, well, we'll fix it. We'll just have him where he won't have nobody to come, you know. So it all worked out in Esther's favor because Esther was chosen by God to step in Vashti's place. She was sent for that time, and Mordecai knew it because he was a man of wisdom. So when Esther decided that she was going to pray, she told those maidens and told her chamberlains and everybody. She said, I want you to get every Jew that's in Shushan, and I want them to fast for me. She didn't say fast for the nation. She didn't say fast for the cows, fast for the king. She said fast for me because her life was on the line. She said, and for 3 days, we're not going to eat or drink. She said, and when I go before the king, which is not according to the law, if I die there, I die there, but I am going to stand up for what I know to be right. I'm going to stand up for my people because I want to save this nation. Everyone has a responsibility. You have to make sacrifices in your life of our time, our money, and our resources to consider the poor, the outcast, the spiritual poor, and the physical poor. Anytime that we as Christians and leaders in God's kingdom say that we love God and we have no care for our other brothers and sisters who are out of the way, then I believe that we have to go back, fast, pray, seek the face of God as Esther did. Even though God is never mentioned in this book, he is perceived. And Esther went before that king and saved her nation. We all know the story. It's a beautiful analogy of how God will use you in your position, wherever you are, to save a nation because nations are birthed out of you. I'm going to turn this back over to Dr. McCoy.
Thank you so much, Dr. Solomon, for blessing us, for giving us a word from the Lord. We thank God because today we see that God is able to preserve his people. We see that God is able to take care of those that belong to him. Yes, you may not be an Esther. You may not be a Mordecai, but God will take care of you. As you begin to see and read through God's word, God will give you began to give you insight, your faith will begin to go to that next level. Even as Dr. Solomon was speaking, that scripture in Chronicles came to me, and it which said, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my faith, turn away from their wicked way, then when I hear from heaven, I will forgive the sin and I will heal the land. And we, if we adhere to the voice of the Lord, if we can have a ear to hear what God is speaking, if our heart will not be hardened, if we can be acceptable, our heart can accept that which God is speaking into our heart, that we will not turn away a deaf ear, and our heart will not be hardened. We see this woman, Esther, that the speaker said that means star. She was able, she was willing to put her life on the line to save a people. And that is the way that we ought to be in this day at this time, that we ought to be able to give all that we have on the inside. We ought to be able to go that very last mile in order to see a soul saved and a life changed. We ought to be able to rejoice in the salvation of others, that because knowing that if they are not saved, if they haven't given a life to Christ, that they will be lost. But here we see on this day, as we talk about Esther, as we see how Mordecai, how he, as the panelist spoke, how he was in sackcloth, how he was had pulled off his clothes, he was in mourning. He had a cry because of the fact that he knew that if he did not make a decision, if he did not was able in order to speak to the queen, and if he did not just stood still and said nothing like some people do at times, the people, those Jewish people, they could have been lost. Their lives could have been taken away from them. But it tells us that it's time for us to rise to action. It's time for us to make a difference. And even as he, although Esther was his cousin, although Esther was part of his kinsman, she had to let her know that if she didn't do what was supposed to be done, if she did not speak unto the king, if she did not use her authority, see, God has given us authority. God has given us power to do great and mighty things. God didn't give us authority just to have authority. He didn't give us power just to have power. He didn't give us the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding just to have it. But God has given us to make a difference. And we see that God has put this woman, another woman, another human being, another person that was able to save the people, to save a nation, to save herself, to save Mordecai. Who would have known when she was growing up that this was going to be her destiny? This was going to be something, her challenge. Who would have known that? But yet God, he knows everything. Don't you feel the excitement? Don't you see God moving in the book of Esther? Don't you see God moving inside of you, that you can't be stagnated and lukewarm and not even do all the things God has put in your heart to do? Sometimes, yes, you got to fast. Sometimes you got to give up the meal. Sometimes you got to go and pray in prayer, because the word of God says the man shall always pray and not the saint. Don't give up. Don't give up, because the task that you're going through seems so big, so large, it's insurmountable. Don't give up because the wall seems so high. Don't give up. She could have given up. She could have said, if I go in, I know I have favor with the king, but if I go in, my life will be taken. My life could be taken. She was able to give up her life so that a nation of people could be saved. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Miss Helen Cooper, and thank you, Dr. Sharon Solomon, for giving us and blessing us with that scripture and with that topic, Save Us Nation. And at this time, we're getting ready to welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast another pilot of another woman of God who's going to be talking about a provision, access, and favor. And she's going to come from Esther, the 5th chapter, 1st through the 8th verse. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome Pastor Francina Shanks to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
To God be the glory for the great things he has done and will do. I just want to thank you, Dr. McCoy, for letting God allow you to ask me to be on this broadcast panel with you today, and I want to thank God for the other speakers as well that are on the panel. We're going right into Esther chapter 5, verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. I'm reading to you from the King James Version of the Bible. Verse 2. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand so that Esther drew near and touched the top of his scepter. Well, as you know, as the doctor has spoken, the word Esther in the Persian is a Persian name, and it means star. It also means hidden. But you see, Esther had two names. Her original Jewish name is Hadassah, her Hebrew name, which means myrtle. Myrtle is a type of tree, vine, or shrub bush with a lot of woody plants. With parts, you know, many separate stems running out. So she had two names. Her original name was Hadassah, which means myrtle, which is a tree, a bush. And her Persian name is Esther, which means a star, and also hidden. So you see right here, Esther went into the court, the inner court of the king's in the palace, and she knew it was against the law to go before the king unless he summoned you. But she had been told by Mordecai what was going to happen to the Jewish nation because of old evil Haman. You see, Haman was jealous of Mordecai because God gave Mordecai, you know, a great reward for saving his life. So Haman, jealousy got in his heart. Now, you just like this story here by Esther, you got people like that that'll hate on you. They'll hate you on your job. They'll hate you in ministry. They don't see what God is doing in your life. They just hate on you for no reason because you look good. You might dress nice. You know what I'm saying? Those of you out there listening to the voice of the Holy Ghost that's speaking to me today, people will just hate on you for no reason. Well, it's the enemy. Don't look at the physical person. You see, Satan will use them to hate on you. Praise God. But see, this is what happened with Mordecai. Haman had hate in his heart, envy. He was jealous of Mordecai, of the promotion and award that King Ahasuerus had given him because he saved the king's life. So he said, he wanted to get rid of Mordecai. So he knew Mordecai was a Jew. So he got this plan, he plotted to get rid of all the Jewish nation. Well, see, Haman didn't know that Esther was a Jew, too. So her uncle had already warned her. So that's why she went on and fasted and everything, and she went into the inner court, and she had already said, I know it's against the law for anyone to go before the king unless he summons you. She said, but if I perish, I perish. So she went on in anyway, and the king held out the scepter toward her. And so the king said to her in verse 3, Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. Verse 4, and Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, come, Haman, to make haste and that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. My God. Well, you see, what Esther did, she knew, she in her heart, she had already planned to have this banquet so that she could tell the king what this evil Haman had, the plot he had set up, this is for her people, because the king did not know that Esther was a Jew. He didn't know that. But Esther knew about because her cousin Mordecai had told her everything that had happened. So she prepared a banquet, and she told the king she wanted him and Haman to come to the banquet. Well, you see in Psalm 23 and 5, the scripture says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. She was going to prepare a table for her enemy, you see, because she wanted to reveal and uncover this wicked Haman and the plot that he had against her and her people. My God, isn't God good? He'll do the same thing for you. The Bible says that if a man's ways please God, he'll make even your enemies be at peace with you. Praise the Lord. God is so good. And Psalm 1 and 3 says, if you are planted in the house of the Lord, you shall flourish in the courts of our God. Look at God. They who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. That's Psalm 1 and 3. So here she was in the court of the Lord, in the court of the king. My God, isn't it good to be planted in the courts of our God? My God. Look at Esther. She got planted in the courts of our king. Jesus is our king. Praise the Lord. And God is so good. He's good all the time. And she had already said, if I perish, I perish. But she was willing to go in and make a petition for herself and her people. Praise God. That's what God wants us to do in this hour. He wants us to pray and petition him for other people, not just ourselves, not just our families, those that are dying out there, those lost souls. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. He wants us to pray and petition him for the needs of others, not just ourselves. He wants us to think on others more than ourselves. Praise God. So here it is showing God's love and his mercy and kindness and how he is through Esther. Praise God. This is a beautiful story. It is a love story of our king. My God. It also says in Proverbs 21 and 1, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord as rivers of water. He turns it whatsoever he will. Isn't that awesome? I know God to be like that. You know, there are many kings. Here we have this Persian king that's in authority, that owns all these vast empires. But, you know, we got kings set up in these different places. They're like the president of the bank. That's a king. The principal over the school, that's a king. The superintendent over the educational system, that's a king. Sitting in these seats of power, praise God. It might be a woman, praise God. Where you at on your job, you know you're working for a king or a president over that company. It might be a woman. But here the scripture says in 21 and 1, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord as rivers of water. He turns it whatsoever he will. And I've commanded God to honor this very scripture when I was going through, when a king of that company was coming against me, praise God. It was even the king over the electrical company. the president over there. You know, they have all these different laws, but we as God people, the Bible says that we are planted in the courts of the Lord. Praise God. And then Psalm 1 and 3 says that we shall be planted. What's that scripture? Plant, 1 and 3. It's talking about how we're planted by the rivers of water. Praise God. Here was Esther. Her second name means plant. Hadassah. It means plant. And she was already planted by the rivers of water, planted in the courts of God. That goes for us, too. We got to learn to trust in God. You know, we have people hating on us, just like Haman was hating on Mordecai and wanted to destroy Mordecai and all his people. But we, as peoples of God, we have the enemy hates us. So we got to do what Jesus said. He said, bless them that curse you and pray for them that despitefully use you. He said, bless and curse not. We got to love our enemies. Pray for them. And so we got to intercede and on the behalf of people who are going through just like Esther did. Praise God. We're going through things right now, people of God. We're going to always go through something. The Bible says they that live God in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. That's what the scripture said. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. And I'm a witness that if you live God in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. Just like the Jews were persecuted here in this story, we as God people, we're going to be persecuted if we're living right, if we're walking upright, if we're doing what this word say. So I want to encourage you today to let you know to trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. In Psalm 37 and 1, it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Look what the Lord said in Psalm 37. Praise God. And in Proverbs 20 and 5. That the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. Look at that. Look at that. They going to soon come to an end. You just do what God tells you to do. He said, bless them. He said, pray for them that despitefully use you. He said, bless and curse not. So we got to do right here like Esther did. We got to make intercession. Praise God. We got to stand in the gap, praise God. We got to do what the words say. And as my mentor, Evangelist Scott, taught me years and years ago when I was under her, it was if you do it the Bible way, you'll get Bible results, praise God. And I just want to turn this back over to Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. To God be the glory.
Thank you, Pastor Shanks, for blessing us, for given us that beautiful illustration and bringing to us the Word of God for vision, success, and favor. And we just so grateful and we are thankful what God is doing this afternoon, how God is moving in great and a mighty way. At this time, we're so honored to have with us Reverend Tawana Jones Linton, and she is going to come and she's going to bless us from Esther, the 7th chapter, 1st through that 6th verse. Welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast, Reverend Tawana Jones Linton.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, the panelists, and the listening audience. Esther chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther, on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my petition at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, Who is he, and where is he, that does presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. First, I would like to say that I have truly been blessed listening to the other panelists and Dr. McCoy give their input on this subject. Esther was a woman who lost both parents, but God thought it not robbery to use her for such a time as this. And a lot of times, especially as women, we'll look at our background, we'll look at our past, where we come from, and we'll begin to count ourselves out. But this passage of scripture is letting me know that God does not look at where we come from. He doesn't look at our bank account. He does not look at our education. But God wants to use us where he sees fit. And he will pick someone out who doesn't feel worthy for such a time as this. And he will set us up in positions and give us favor, not only to be there, but to be a blessing to others. Thinking about where Esther came from, I can imagine that Esther on her own, she didn't know what to do. She was a woman who had lost both parents, had been raised by her uncle. But when her uncle Mordecai set her up to go to this place to be chosen as the wife of the king, he told her, he began to strategize. He said, do not let these people know that you are a Jew. And Esther listened to her uncle, and she didn't say anything. And we see in the chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, Esther was strategizing. And I believe that she learned this from her uncle Mordecai. She told the king that she was inviting him to a banquet. Not only the king, but bring Haman too. Bring this man who wants to destroy me. Drink a little wine, and I'm going to tell you a secret, old king. When she brought the king and Haman to this banquet, the king began to say, Esther, what is it that I can do for thee? What is it that I can perform for thee? Because as soon as the king saw Esther, he had favor with her. She found favor with him. God had touched Esther's life so and placed her in a position that the favor of God was on her so that the king could not have turned her away if he wanted to. But he asked Esther at this dinner, what is it that I can do for thee? What is your petition? And Esther let him know that someone wants to kill me and my people. And I can imagine Haman, how it said in verse 6, that, and Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. How would you feel if you're standing before the king and the queen and she just told him that you're getting ready to kill her and all of her people, knowing that the king loved Esther so much? Haman had no other choice but to fear her. So that's why we cannot come up against the people of God. It doesn't matter who comes up against you, but if God be for you, it is more than they that can be against you. When we have God on our side, when we have God on our lives, it does not matter if it's the vice president. It doesn't matter how high the person sits. But if God has his favor on your life, if God has set you in a position, it does not matter who does not like you. The Bible tells us not to be concerned with the looks on their faces. We don't have to be concerned with who don't like us, who hates us. As long as we stay in the will of God, as long as we listen to what God has to say to us and let the favor of God abide on our lives, if we take our eyes off of the enemy and keep our eyes planted on God, God is well able to do that which he has planned to do in our lives. His arms are not short that he can't reach us no matter what the situation looks like. But Esther stood her ground when she didn't have to sit herself up because she could have been killed for going into the presence of the king. But she trusted God and she made up her mind to do what it was that she had to do. And she stood before the king with the favor of God on her life and gave her request to the king. And then the enemy that planned to destroy her, I'm reminded of a saying that I often hear in the world, and I heard it growing up. When you dig one ditch, you better dig two, because that first ditch that you dig might just be for you. I guess Haman hadn't heard about that, but he learned in this passage of scripture. Dr. McCoy, back over to you.
Amen. Praise God. We are so grateful and so thankful for the word of God that came out of the woman of God's mouth, that God has given her that knowledge and that wisdom to bring forth that word and those insights to us, that you cannot come, she said, against the people of God. You cannot come against the people of God. Sometimes people don't know who they're coming against. They don't know the anointing upon people's lives. Even David, even before he became king, he knew that he should not touch God anointed who was Saul. He knew that he was not going to touch him or do anything against him, because he knew that he was anointed of God. And we find here today, even as the woman of God speaking, yes, she had lost both parents, but God didn't give her any one. You know, parents are special. Parents are something that sometimes irreplaceable. But yet God has put Mordecai in her path. And he calls Mordecai to be able to raise her, to bring her up, to teach her, to instruct her in righteousness. And we see here that God has prepared her for such a time as this. And I thank God, even as the woman of God is speaking to us and telling us that even when Esther invited her the king for dinner, she didn't just invite him, but she invited the man, the one that was coming against her. But I believe after prayer, because prayer changes things. Prayer makes the difference. Prayer settles things. Prayer is in position to change things, because the Bible let us know that man should always pray and not to say. I believe that she did not say. I believe that there was a word in her mouth. I believe that God has given her the wisdom to do what she did in behalf of Haman. She did not come out and all of a sudden accuse him of being reckless, being one that was trying to come against her people, but she took it step by step. She took it easy. She did it so that I believe that the king could understand to see even this man that you have in your court, this man that you have in the palace, this man that holds a high position. I want you to see that his heart is not right. And I haven't heard that saying for a long time, but what a true saying is. When you dig a ditch for one person, you just well or dig it for the other yourself. Because of the fine bad that when you do evil, evil will come back to you. Because God is a just God. Even when our thinking is out of line, when our heart is out of line with God's word, no matter who we say that we are and is, but when it's out of line with the word of God, God will cause you to get in line with him. Are you going to suffer the end results of any crooked way that you do? Haman, he was he was coming against the Jewish people, coming against the man of God, because he wouldn't reverence him, because he wouldn't bow down him. What is it that you're doing because people don't pay attention to you, because you want them to pay attention to you? What is it that you have in your heart against someone because you don't think that they are that they don't give you that accolade that you want to have? I believe this is a word from the Lord today. I believe that the anointing, the power is on the women of God to be able to come before this radio audience and be able to talk about this woman, Esther. So we are getting excited. I believe you see that I'm getting excited. I believe that the panel is getting excited today because of what God is doing. So we're going to move on just a little bit further, and we're going to see God's purpose. God's purpose is guaranteed, is a guaranteed heritage. And we're getting ready to hear from Dr. Joyce Bynes. And she's going to come and she's going to bless. praise God, from Esther, the 8th chapter, the 3rd to the 13th verse. And God is going to use her to bless us and to give us even a greater insight as we go. We're climbing the ladder. We're getting closer and closer. I mean, it's getting better and better. God is doing it for us. And I want you to hear what God is speaking, not just what the panelists are saying to you, what God is speaking to you on today. Again, we would like to take this opportunity to bless the Lord, to thank the Lord God Almighty for our next panelist, Dr. Joyce Bynes. Welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and to all the listening audience today and to the panelists. This has truly been a blessing to just hear what God is saying through all the women of God. And my scriptures today will come from Esther, the eighth chapter, the 3rd to the 13th verse. And it reads as following. Now Esther spoke again to the king, fell down at his feet, and implored him with tears to counteract the evil of Haman, the Agagite, and the schemes which he had devised against the Jews. And the king held out the golden scepter towards Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it please the king, and if I found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right to the king, and I am pleasing in his sight, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of the Hamadiah, which he wrote. And the Jews who are in all the king's providence. For how can I endure to see the evil that I will come to my people? Oh, how can I endure to see the destruction of my countrymen? Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and Mordecai the Jew, indeed, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him on the gallows because he tried to lay his hands on the Jews. You yourself written a decree concerning the Jews, as you please in the king's name, and sealed it with the king's signet ring, and whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. So the king's scribes were called at the time in the 3rd month, which is the month of the Sivan, on the 23rd day. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews. And the governor and the princes of the providence, for all in Ethiopia, India, 127 provinces in all, to even the province in its own script, to every people in its own language, and to the Jews in their own script and language. And he wrote in the name of the king, Ahasuerus, sealed it with the king's signet ring, and sent letters to the countrymen on horseback, riding on royal horses, breed with swift spirit. By these letters, the king permit the Jews who were in every city to gather together and protect their lives to destroy, kill, and annihilate all of the forces of any people or provinces that would assault them, both little children and women, and to plunder their possessions. On one day, in all the providence of King Ahasuerus, and on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is in the month of Adar, a copy of the document was to be issued as a decree in every providence and published for all people. so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. I've read to you from the 8th chapter, the 3rd through the 13th verse. Here we find in this that King Hazael's his original order, as Haman issued it, had been according to the laws of the Persians and the Medes. It could not change. So the plan to save the Jews was not as simple as we have as when the king withdrew his order. We have seen the reversal of plan throughout the book of Esther. They have built their claims. And that we, however that's done, you can build any kind of way that you want to. But when we found here that Ahasuerus told Mordecai to issue a new decree, the Jews were given the right to assemble and to defend themselves from all of those who wanted to kill them. So Haman, his original order was used for all of the efficiency of the government and the communities and all the Persian Empire. And so we look at this is like the divine turnaround. And it talks to us today as, where in this part of Esther's story do you see God at work? Do you see him at work and doing what he needs to do? You can recall that God is never directly mentioned in the book of Esther, but yet we can see God's providence was always at work. And when Mordecai first asked for Esther's help, he suggested that Esther would have been brought to her position as queen as she is to help at this time. But Esther's plan was work for safety of God's people. That was her total plan all of the time. Esther was concerned about the people of God. And in this day and time, we have to be concerned about the people of God. They might not be people like we are or people that we think that we're supposed to be a part of, whether they are saved or unsaved. But we have to be like Esther. Because in this day and time, Esther was just like we are today. We are here today because God has called us to be women of God, to spread the gospel, to send the word out over the airwaves. We have a responsibility to discover in our lives what purpose that God has for us here on earth. God has a purpose for Esther's life. To fulfill that purpose, God brought her to a position from which she can influence. Even at her time, she was influenced great political arenas. There was great political powers going on during her time. But God, that didn't move Esther from doing what her calling was. Esther understood that her purpose is she was to obey God and live according to it. That's the purpose that we have today, to obey the voice of the Lord, to hear what God has to say in this hour to us. To truly effect things in today, we can never be happy in our lives today if we do not get a sense of the purpose, and we need to see the big picture on who we are, why are we here as Christians. We need to know that our real purpose cannot be found in personal ambitions, the things that we have set up for ourselves, what do we want to do. But we know God has a purpose for our life, and we have a responsibility as the women of God, as the people of God. Since we are talking about women, we have a responsibility as the women of God to make sure that and make our election sure. We have a responsibility to live God's plan for us. And when we do that, we please God. We also will meet, as Esther said, I came to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is what we are here for such a time as this. We're living in a time where even back in the Bible days, you know, we were not the chosen people to say things. They kept us behind. They kept us in the background. We could not step out and really do what God has called us to do, because and there were some mighty women who have walked even before our time who had to tread the way that we can even be on the air today, that we can be able to talk about the word of God on the air as women of God. And these women made an open door for us to walk in today. So when we look at what Esther did and all of the things that happened, and this story is just such a wonderful story, because you can record that God is never directed. I mean, it was just never, God was never mentioned here. And when you look at the story, but you know that God was at work. You know that in the atmosphere was ready. I heard one of the sisters talk about saving your family. That is so important. That's one of the things that even in my family, I'm talking about the heritage. Just because things went well for me, God preserved a guaranteed heritage that your children and your children's children, they all will be saved if it was guaranteed for you. But he also looking not only for your children, but he's looking for the other generations, maybe nieces, nephews, cousins, whoever it is that might be in your family. So this is a great time. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. But we need to get out and be able to reach our Jerusalem. We are, most ministries are going on, and they are all the way over into the utmost parts of the world, saving the world. But God is asking us today, like he used Esther, he'll use us just in Jerusalem. So we have to stay in Jerusalem to get it, all of the stuff that we need. Then he will send us on to our Samaritans and on up to the utmost parts of the world. But God has a purpose for every life, not just for the life here that we live, but the ones who are saved and are ready, but he are for every believer, but he has a purpose for those that don't even believe yet, those who haven't met your God. But this was Esther's concern. Her concern is what we should be concerned now. You brought me here for such a time as this, and in this time, our concern should be about others. Many people hunger for meaning today. We hunger that everybody want to get a title. Everybody hungry to be on top. Everybody's hungry for something, some kind of meaning. But Christians, we have a responsibility to bring others the good news that God has a purpose for each and every person. Once people know that they have purpose in their lives, we don't want to have problems, all of the problems that we are having, especially with our young people. Young people need to know that there are some Esthers, that there are some people that's around. Even God will use them in this hour, and he does want to use them. So we need to reach back for your for what God's plan is for your life. Be encouraged today to know that God made a promise to you that he would never leave you, nor would he forsake you. As I was looking in Acts, the 20th chapter, it says, but none of these things move me, neither that I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and minister which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of Jesus. We all should be saying that to ourselves today, that we can finish this course with joy, and that you don't count your life as to being so important, but just unto you. But look at the lives that are around you, like Esther did. She was concerned about the lives that was around her, not so much about her, but she was so concerned that these lives that here with me. And then Philippians, the first chapter, the 20th verse, it says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that is nothing, I shall be ashamed that of all the with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be my life or my death. We should have so with Christ, that he can be magnified through this life, not only through this life, but even the legacies should be left that people will still know that I was saved because there was an Esther, there was a Joyce, there was a Mary McCoy, whoever, but there was somebody that came my way and introduced me to Jesus Christ. We might not be able to save a nation. God might not use us to save a whole nation, but we can certainly start with our families. He will use us just to start with one. He can, if you just move one to Christ, that one can move another one, and that one can move another one, and we'll all be coming to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I want to turn it back over to Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Joyce Stein, for blessing us, for giving us the purpose, a guaranteed heritage. We just thank God for Esther coming to the throne at such a time as this. You have an opportunity to come and to place, my God, at such a time as this. You may not be the queen. You may not be the king. Whatever your position is in life, you have an opportunity to be used of God. You have an opportunity to hear what the Spirit said unto you. You have an opportunity to win a soul to the kingdom of God. Yes, as Dr. Bynes said, you may not win a nation, but there are nations that are walking around here in the United States of America. There's nations of people that are walking in Jacksonville, Florida. There's nations of people that are walking in Tampa, Florida, in Texas, and Baltimore, and different other areas that we have to reach for the kingdom of God. Yes, the Bible said the harvest is plentiful, but the labels are few. We're getting ready, praise God, for our last panelist, last but not least. And we thank God for this woman of God that's going to be coming to us today, and she, too, is going to talk about the guaranteed heritage. And she's going to be coming from that ninth chapter of Esther. She's going to pick up the 18th verse, 18, 19, 27, and that 28th verse. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Evangelist Geraldine Spencer to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Breakthrough Broadcast. Amen. Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and to the panelists. Amen. I'm going to be also talking on purpose, guaranteed, a heritage, coming to you from chapter 19, verse 18. And it says, but the Jews that were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th thereof, and on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month of Adar a day of gladness and feasting, and a day, good day of sending portions one to another. Verse 27. The Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time every year. Verse 28, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Here we see, amen, that this, in other words, took place in Shushan. And Shushan is a capital in Persia. And the Hebrew word means, it's a Hebrew word, and it means to be bright, that is cheerful, be glad, greatly, joy, make mirth, rejoice, a lily from its whiteness, as a flower or arch, also a straight trumpet. And it's amazing how this place, Shushan, in other words, and they, in other words, remembered and did what God had, in other words, purposed and preserved them, amen, to do. And it was to, in other words, give glory back to him and to give thanks back to him, and to also to share it among those that even came in to fellowship with them, that in the month of Adar, which is the 12th month for the Jewish calendar, and that month is from March, the end of March, around the 15th to the end of February. Thank you, Lord. From the middle of February to the middle of March. Amen. And it was March 13th, 14th, and amen, 15th. And it was 2 days. And they did a celebration, in other words, a feasting of what God had miraculously done for them. And I look at how God provides the means to preserve his people in the face of a severe crisis. Do you know that it is still read aloud as part of the Purim celebration by the Jewish people, and it's been kept from generation to generation? And God, when I was reading this and looking at this and studying that, God began to show me how, in other words, he knew that, amen, the Jewish people, he didn't chose them because they were great in numbers, but he chose them because they were the least, amen, and how they, in other words, had, amen, purpose in their heart, that even though he was not mentioned, God is not mentioned here in the book of Esther, but how they would, in other words, give him, in other words, the glory, give it all back to him. In other words, a continued day of celebration, 2 days of celebration and feasting and giving gifts and stuff to one another and stuff, and recognition of what God had done. And we know that even though he was not mentioned in the book of Esther, but when you read it, you automatically see the finger of God, and the finger of God is his power. Amen. So God knew that, amen, they would be committed, amen, and that they would be, amen, faithful, amen, to continue to keep that in remembrance, amen, what God miraculously did for them. And also the word Purim, prayer, which is referring to the lots which Haman cast to determine the best day for destroying the Jews. How, in other words, it became the best day, amen, for celebrating, amen, the victory, amen, and how God, amen, miraculously delivered the Jews by using Esther, amen, who, amen, did not, you know, look at as far as try to take, amen, the glory that if it had not been for her. But in other words, she did it, amen, because, as the other panelists have said, that it was, in other words, the word of God is saying that for such a time as this, she recognized and realized that her purpose, amen. And God believes that God is saying to us today, amen, that, you know, a lot of times we might not see our purpose, but know that, amen, that when we seek the face of God and just be obedient to do whatever God asks us to do and to be in position, how, amen, that God will use us, amen, amen, for a nation, will use us, amen, for others, amen, and how we, in other words, not to be selfish and to think more of ourselves. But I just look at how, amen, God was not even mentioning here, but he knew that, amen, the people would, in other words, set aside, amen, and remember what he had done and what he, amen, miraculously did for them who came, in other words, set out a plot to destroy, and how that plot was revealed, amen, and in other words, how it was taken upon them, and they were hanged, amen, Haman's, amen, people were hanging on those gallows that they built to kill the Jews. But, and, you know, and I just give God glory, because God is really saying to us, stop, amen, being focused focused on, amen, what it looks like and what other people are saying. But, amen, get into that place. Get into that place with God, amen, and see, amen, that God, amen, has a purpose, amen, for you, amen, and especially when he, amen, has spared your life through things. When you look around and you see, amen, family and friends and other ones that have gone on, and how God has preserved you and how God has kept you, amen, and you know that, amen, you should have been gone, but God has kept you, and that lets you know that God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you, amen, and begin to walk in that purpose and plan, amen. And just like, amen, the panelist said, that, you know, it might not be for a nation, it might be just for one person, purpose. But you know what? Amen. You give God the glory. You let, amen, God use you. Amen. Because he's testing us. Amen. As believers. Amen. As for our patience, he's testing us. Will we be faithful? Will we be committed? Amen. Amen. To do it. Amen. What God has called for to be done. And I give God praise for how, amen, Esther, amen, moved as she did, amen, and she recognized, amen, and she went forth and fulfilled purpose. So God is saying to us today, amen, go forth and fulfill the purpose, amen, that I have called and I have placed you in the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. It might be, amen, just to pray, amen, and to give to one another. Amen. And you can see here how they were blessed. Amen. They was blessed that they had more than enough on that day that they set aside, those 2 days. Amen. In the month of March, they set aside how they had more than enough to give to other people. So if you look at that, you know, that is a purpose right then and there. You know, how can I bless somebody if I don't have enough to take care of my household? Amen. So we got to get into the purpose, amen, and the will of God, amen, to be able to bless and to help, amen, others, to be able to bless and to help others. And I like the part where it says that it was did from generation to generation, and it went on, and it was, in other words, a purpose. In other words, that's what we're talking about here, a guaranteed heritage, that it went on. It didn't die. It's still today, and you still hear, you can, around that time that they doing Purim, and they're celebrating Purim, amen, and they're continuing to do it from generation to generation, amen, and it's showing, amen, the finger of God, how his power, what he miraculously did, amen, and how, you know, a lot of times it's not how it wasn't mentioned, God wasn't mentioned in there, but you just saw his handiwork, you saw the finger of God, you saw his power, amen, and to this day, he is still, amen, getting the glory. He is still, amen, being acknowledged and recognized, amen, for his work, amen. So recognize and realize that we do have a purpose, amen, that God just didn't spare you, amen, to come out of that state from being, hallelujah, an alcoholic, being, hallelujah, a prostitute. He didn't spare you just to just come out and just do nothing, but there is a purpose, that God has a purpose for you. And know this day, amen, that God is going to see that you fulfill that purpose, amen, that he has called you to, amen, and do it, amen, and pleasing unto him and being committed and faithful unto him, amen. Right to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you very much, Evangelist Spencer, for truly blessing us, and thank the Lord for what God has given you to his people today. And saying that, we just thank God for the topic, God preserves his people. We have heard a plan to save a nation. We have talked about provision, provision, access, and favor. Yes, we talk about purpose, purpose, a guarantee, a heritage. We thank God, Eva, for the topic, God preserve his people. In Esther 4:14 again, who knoweth whether thou come to the kingdom for such a time as this? We would like to take the opportunity to thank Miss Helen Hooper, Dr. Sharon Solomon, Pastor Francina Shanks, Dr. Reverend Tawana Jones Linton, Dr. Joyce Vine, Evangelist Geraldine Spencer on our breakthrough broadcast. We are getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Yes, there's somebody out there that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Somebody need to be saved. Somebody need to come before the throne of grace. The Bible says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't care. God doesn't care what you did yesterday, today. He cares, but he wants to forgive you for your sin. You may have been a prostitute. You may have been a drunkard. You may have been a fornicator. You may have been an adulterer, a liar, a homemonger, whatever you was. God paid the price 2,000 years ago for your sin and for your transgression. Yes, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I believe today that there are many people that out there in the radio air that have not professed Jesus Christ, have not asked Jesus Christ to come into their life. I want you to know today that you can ask Jesus to forgive you for your sin, to come into your heart and to save you. And when you mean it, God's going to come in even as we pray. He's going to come in and he's going to forgive you for your sin, and he's going to cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. I want you to know that you're going to be that new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, old things become new. Just give God and commit your life to God. Tomorrow is not promised to you. The Bible says he's coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. Why don't you just repeat after me? Lord, forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart. Save me. Deliver me. Make me free. God, I want to live for you the rest of my life. Lord, I want to be able to see your face. God, I want to be able to see the gates of heaven. Lord, I want to be able to live this life for you so that I can live again. Oh, Father, I thank you right now. I have confidence and faith in you today that you have forgiven me for my sins, that you have come into my heart, and that you have saved me even now. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the angels in heaven are rejoicing even now for those that have given their life unto you. Father God, even now as I pray into the radio audience right now, God, those that are sick, those that have infirmities in their bodies, God, I pray healing, God, upon them even now. Lord, those, God, in the mighty name of Jesus that have had bad reports, God, on their physician. Lord, I pray healing. God, heal them right now in the name of Jesus. God, you pray the price 2,000 years ago for their healing and for their deliverance. God, all tumors, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, every mass, Lord God. Father God, every backache, God, heal right now. God, even on in the spine, down the hips, God, heal even now. Father, in the name of Jesus, those that with cataracts, God, those, God, in the mighty name of Jesus with glaucoma, God, I pray healing. Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your healing in power being manifested. And whatever the infirmity, whatever disease, Lord God, that the enemy, God, will try to put upon them, I pray healing, God, even now, in the precious name of Jesus. We just want to take this opportunity to thank our radio audience and thank all of you, our panelists, for joining us today on the Breakthrough Broadcast. We want you to tune in every Wednesday and Friday morning at 9 a.m. for the Hour of Power. And we're going to be preaching the unadulterated, uncompromising Word of God there every Wednesday and on Friday. And the preacher of the hour that time will be none other than myself, Dr. Mary McCoy. And then we're getting ready to launch a new broadcast that's going to be coming on Mondays, and probably the first Monday in the month of May, which is called Crossroads, also a professional Christian counselor, where the people from everywhere will be able to call in with questions, those that are attempting or getting ready to get married, premarital counseling, as well as marriage counseling. We're going to be talking about rage. We're going to be talking about the topics that concerning the people of God, anger and rage. And God is going to move in a great and a mighty way. And at that time, you don't have to give your name. We do not want you to give your name. We don't want to actually know where you're calling from, but you have that that time where that you have that freedom to ask any question from the panelists, from the professional Christian counselors at that time. And remember, that's going to take place on the first Monday in next month. But until then, keep us in prayer. We're going to pray for you, and we wish the best for you. God is in your corner. God is out. God will fight every battle for you. Remember, the battle does not belong to you, but the battle belongs to God, and God is well able to fight every battle. This has been your host, Dr. Mary McCoy, telling you to give God the praise.